that you get in a lifetime. This is a very young season right now. There's a lot at stake on this football game. But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you
live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Morning. Welcome into the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. It is a beautiful Monday morning out there. It is November 11th, 2019. It is 10:03 a.m. We hope you're doing well out there, starting your week off right. I know this weekend made it a little bit easier to start your weekend off right. I mean, what can you say? Tennessee walks into Lexington, Kentucky, and makes the Wildcats bend the knee. My name is Rick Beller, joined to my left by Brandon Orrick. Joined to my right, things are mixed up today. Joined to my right by Weston the Fish Brown, and then, of course, Chance Collins is here. We got the full gang. Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Doing well, Rick. Doing well, as always.
As always?
Yeah.
Are you always doing well, though? You came here before kind of not doing so well.
I'm doing well today.
Way back when.
As most times. Is that better?
That one day.
Is that better?
It's a lot better.
I'm doing better than most days.
It's a lot better. I'm feeling good. Feeling great, Rick.
All right. Weston, how you doing?
Doing pretty good.
You don't sound pretty good. That sounded like
Weston. I'm a little shook.
Chance, I don't know if you're aware. And we'll get into this. We'll get into it in detail a little bit later in the show, but this is a big day for one Weston Filet-O-Fish.
You got a big lead over the weekend. I don't think I did too well over the weekend.
No.
Don't even skip right over the confidence picks.
This goes so much further.
Than confidence picks. Dollar bills, y'all.
You lost some money.
No. I think I told you about my parlay on Saturday.
He's got some big.
Tonight's game.
Yeah, he's got to finish it off tonight. I'll win it.
So. I want some money over the weekend. Did a little square, a little squares pool with like people from my other job, and I won the third quarter and the fourth quarter score on the squares pool.
There you go.
Nice little 250.
$250,
Weston.
Oh, hey, 250.
That's
nice
chump change to what Weston's got.
I know.
Hey, yeah, we'll get into Weston's huge bet coming up later in the show today. But, guys, where else can we start today but Saturday night? The Vols travel to the great – oh, man, not the great. The is there a way I can save that? The greatly terrible?
No.
Yeah. Well, then that was just my bad. I was reading the score. Tennessee travels to the grocery store stadium. I think that's what I was trying to say. Tennessee travels up to Kentucky. Wins with a final score 17-13. Vols erase a 10-point deficit there in the second half. Go on a 14-0 run over the final two quarters. Win the ball game 17-13. Finally get back to 500. They're now at 5-5 on the season, 3-3 in the SEC. And I think the biggest story of the game was, much like how most games have been this season, has been the quarterback. What stood out the most to you guys, just kind of your initial thoughts on what went down Saturday night?
I mean, it was a tough, gutsy win. Did not look pretty at all, especially in the first half. But credit to that team, credit to that defense, credit to Jarrett Garantano. Those guys played well. Fought, never gave up, and came out of there with a win, and you're one win away from a bowl game.
Yeah, and I think that you kind of nailed it when you talk about a tale of two halves, if you will. Because it really was. In the first half, you let up those initial two touchdown drives on the first two drives of the game. In the first one, I believe it was, that was like a 10-minute drive, or at least it felt like it. Right? It was a... Yeah,
they had the ball almost the entirety of the first quarter. Really, if you look at the whole game, they had the ball damn near the whole game.
The first drive alone for Kentucky was 17 plays, 75 yards, 10 minutes and 18 seconds off the clock. And I think that that kind of set the tone for the first half, because Tennessee's defense at that point is playing tired. When you got to play 75 yards of defense over the span of 17 plays over the span of over 10 minutes, like that's enough to kind of rattle anybody, kind of get anybody flat-footed or at least falling backwards a little bit to start the game. And I think Kentucky really took advantage of that. But then you kind of go into the second half, you get a quarterback change, the defense really kind of settles down. I think the team also kind of realized that Lynn Bowden Jr. was certainly not throwing the ball ever in that game. And I think that helped Tennessee make the right adjustments. All in all, you make the right adjustments to close the game 14-0 in the second half and come out with a much-needed victory.
Yeah, it was that is what you would notice. You know, first off, Kentucky did hold time possession. Like you said, credit to Garantano. He did have a good game. He was the leader that you needed out there. Maurer. He just looked like he is very rusty, maybe even – and they talked about maybe he's not up for the challenge of the moment, you know, getting his team to bowl eligibility, but I think he's just really rusty from being out. He looked awful. You had to go to Garantano. Man, yeah, like you said, their quarterback wasn't passing the ball at all. It was strictly – they were just running on you. Makes you, you know, kind of a glaring issue over the fact that Tennessee's getting ran on, that they got ran on, I guess, so well. But – at the same time, defense stepped it up. When you needed a stop there at the end, you got a goal line stop. And the defense made a bunch of stops in the second half to make sure and get the offense back the ball. And talk about – guys, we talked about in the pregame show, Fish, you remember, every guy we talked about had something big happen. We talked about – I've been saying something about Nigel Warrior all season. He gets interception. Batuli, Terrell Taylor. So there was a lot of guys that were actually, you know – got a lot of work in.
The stars showed up, if you will, right? Like the big guys that you need to make plays. Exactly. Yes, your upperclassmen. And that's what you expect. That's what you want to happen is when you're late in the season, you're going to an SEC rival, and you have so much on the line, because really both of these teams did. Kentucky now sits 4-5 on the year, so they were 500, and they were looking to go above that line. When you have all that going for you, the guys that you have to rely on the most are your upperclassmen, your leaders. I think that's why it was so important for Jarrett Garantano to come in and be able to say, hey, guys, I got this. Let's settle down. We got this. Like, we have been in this situation before. And I think that's great for Garantano to be able to call from past experience. Now, has that past experience gone well all the time? Absolutely not. We have all seen it countless times. But at the same time, he does have that experience of playing on the road, playing at night, playing SEC rivals. I think that was huge. And then Chance, like you said, you look at guys like Nigel Warrior and Daniel Batuli as two of the biggest playmakers on the team on Saturday. You look at your receivers. Callaway, Palmer, and Jennings combined for 11 catches and 204 yards and 2 touchdowns. Those three guys alone almost averaged 20 yards a catch. Now, I know those are pretty much your only three receivers, but they are such leaders of the offense that is a monumental game for them to step up in exactly the role that you needed them to. Unfortunately, it's a little bit of a slow start, but hey, at the end of the day, it all works out.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Batuli had 19 tackles in this. He was just a beast all over the field.
What a monster.
Sideline to sideline, you know, stopping the gaps. You'd like to see a little bit better running display from your running backs. I wish you could have got the rushing game going, but you were able to pass, like you said, and just, I mean, guys just stepped it up in the second half, and just really, they were down. It looked very bleak. But the guys stepped it up, and they are learning how to finish games. Jeremy Pruitt said they still need to complete an entire game. That is true. But to go 4-2 over your last six, to win these last three straight, and to also, what did Phil Fulmer always say when he was coaching? I think it was Fulmer. They remember what you do in November.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, this team is definitely capitalizing right now.
Absolutely.
Doing the things you're supposed to do in November to lead you to the postseason.
I think that was Johnny Majors.
It was Johnny Majors, excuse me. Okay, thank you, Fish.
So here's a crazy stat, Chance. You just mentioned that Betulli had 19 tackles, which is almost five times the amount of Kentucky's leading tackler. And then he had 10 solo tackles, which was almost four times the amount of Kentucky's leading solo tackler. I mean, Daniel Betulli was everywhere on the field tonight. He's just ever, like, I first remember him having a breakout game against Georgia Tech in Mercedes-Benz Stadium to start the season a couple
Chick-fil-A
years ago.
Kickoff.
Yeah, like, I remember that was, at least for me, that's when he really became on my radar, because it was one of those games where he had so many tackles, just like this game. He was everywhere on the field, and ever since then, he's been one of the most reliable tacklers I've seen in a long time at any level. I think when Betulli goes to get the ball carrier, almost all the time he's going to be in the right place and he's going to get him down.
Anybody notice that on that fourth down play when we stopped Kentucky, that was almost the identical play that we stopped Georgia Tech on?
Yeah. I was rewatching it this morning. And
it was.
And I was like, that looks very familiar.
Mm-hmm. They couldn't get the pitch going either.
I thought the same thing. And to what you're saying about Daniel Betulli, and he has kind of been the rock of that defense and definitely been the leader. And then obviously he's a senior this year, you lose him, but I think that you've kind of got that next guy in line with Hank T.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, because he was the one, he stuffed the guy, can't remember which Kentucky back had the ball on that third down play right before fourth down where you stopped him. But Henry To'oto,
Rodriguez,
he was the one that blew up that third down play to set up the fourth down play. So I think you've got that guy to kind of step into Betulli's role next year.
Gentlemen.
Yeah, Hank T had a big tackle late too. Guys stepped up. We've gotten to a point. Did anybody on that stand think they were going to score? I'm serious. You think they're going to score? I know, like, games passed earlier in the season. I'm like, oh, they're going to score. It's going to be over. I actually had a lot of confidence that we were going to get that stop.
I
had a lot of confidence the Vols were going to get that stop.
I was really nervous, but it wasn't. A lot of this season has been kind of the, like,
There's
like
more confidence for me in this team now.
Yeah, like, a lot of the season has been like a somber kind of nervous, like, oh, man, I don't know if we're going to get this play right here, but we normally don't. For that one, I was definitely nervous. I was sweating bullets, but like I was jumping out of my seat, could not sit down. That was so much just giddy, I think, excited nervousness. But man, Tennessee wins 17-13, but that was nowhere near the only story of the weekend. Phenomenal weekend for sports. Well, I guess for football. You have the college slate of games, which had the number two versus number three teams in a showdown, which certainly was indeed, as Alabama and LSU squared off on Saturday. And then when you look back at the NFL games from yesterday, a couple of huge games, including the Tennessee Titans taking down the Kansas City Chiefs and much more. So, man, we got a ton to talk about today. It is a bye week. In case you didn't know that, in case you might have forgotten, Tennessee does not play this week. 2 weeks from now, they will travel to Columbia, Missouri to take on the Mizzou Tigers. So we got 2 weeks to get ready for that game. Plenty of stuff to do until then. Plenty of things to talk about. If you would like to talk to us on the show today, go ahead and give us a call, 865-546-8200, to get your voice on the program. Talk about whatever you want. Phone lines are wide open. We will go ahead and catch our first commercial break of the show today. We'll be right back on the other side, though, continuing to break down Tennessee, Kentucky, then moving into the rest of the football from the weekend. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good show. You won't want to miss it. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. All right, back here on The Blitz, 10:21 a.m., getting groovy.
The cold-hearted slave, Jeremy Pruitt. He don't play by rules.
He's not sure what that means.
He does what he wants to. Huh. That's our coach. Jeremy Pruitt, really high on my list. One of the hottest coaches in football right now. Been saying it for a while.
You don't believe that.
I do think he's his trajectory is... These guys buying into him. And once he gets his guys in here, you know, another recruiting class, I think it is going to be different around here. I think it's going to be different.
He's certainly not on coachinghotseat.com anymore.
Nah, he's got to be way down
certainly
on that list.
Certainly not the number one coach on
is
that
list. Is he completely
that
off
board.
That list now?
I don't know. Is that the actual website
yeah,
for
it's
it?
Called, yeah, it's called Coach's Hot Seat.
He I wonder was like
he was number
16
one.
A week ago or something like that.
Oh, really? Right. Still
coach's
was on the list.
Coach's Hot Seat 2019. Jeremy Pruitt. Makes the top 25.
Still, wow.
Well, I mean, you got to think.
Number
no, yeah, I know. The Georgia State loss.
25.
Well, I'm just meaning like other coaches that are – like is Chad Morris on here?
Is he gone now since he got fired?
Yes. I feel like if Chad Morris
– He had to be. Yeah. He was number
it
one.
It is updated.
Yeah, he had
so
to be
So he's not on there anymore?
Yep.
He gone.
He's gone off the list.
He was probably – Taggart and Morris were ahead of him, and then they get knocked out and
push him up a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Correct.
Other notable names who could get fired. Some of these are interesting. I'm just seeing these for the first time.
Clay Helton, USC. Is he still on that list?
He is. He's at number 9. A couple of familiar names. Will Muschamp, number 4.
Yeah, that was a bad loss
for
them.
Very bad
the
loss.
Yeah, which will be interesting. We might get into that here in a second.
Lane Kiffin on that list?
Lane Kiffin is not.
FAU still.
Who's number
on
one?
List.
Mike D'Antonio,
oh, yeah,
Michigan
State.
He got the vote of confidence.
Yep.
This weekend.
You know what that means.
The old dreaded vote
you
of confidence.
You know what that means. Never want that after a game, after a bad weekend.
The dreaded vote of confidence from Fulmer, I don't know. I don't really remember when that was, but I think you might be able to tie that back to, man, what a kick in the rear end that one was. Because I feel like that pretty much coincides with when Tennessee's really big shift has been.
Maybe it's just me. I feel like it's different when you've got a coach who's in year two and then a guy like Mark D'Antonio who's been for a long time. And
he doesn't really need the vote of confidence.
And it may be kind of getting stale.
Yeah. Here's some other. So there are actually a bunch of notable ones. I'll go through these a lot faster, though. So Scott Frost is number 3. Joe Moorhead's number 5. Barry Odom is number 6.
Yep.
Derek Mason is number 8.
Three or 4 SEC East
three
coaches?
Three so far.
South Carolina, Mississippi State, Missouri, and Vanderbilt.
Three.
I think Derek Mason's probably getting the axe this year finally. He was saying SEC East.
Okay, yeah.
4 SEC coaches total. I think Mason's probably getting that axe. Muschamp depends on how they finish out the season. He doesn't have anything to hold on to, like a quarterback or anything like that. They probably make the change there. Chad Morris, though, man. Well, Tyson. Tyson went up there,
pulled it out,
and executed him.
And it's not an easy road for South Carolina down the stretch. I mean, their easiest game was Appalachian State, and like we mentioned, they lost that one. They go to A&M. This Saturday, and then they close out the year 2 weeks from the last game of the season against Clemson at home. So, not an easy stretch for old Willie Muschamp.
Willie,
do we think that Muschamp could get fired after the end of this year?
Could
anybody could get
well,
fired?
Certainly, but do you think he will?
Depending on how they finish the season.
I mean, if they go 4-8.
I mean, they made a bowl game last year. It looks like they went 7-5 year before that. Again, another bowl game. That one was the Outback Bowl versus Michigan. I think if you're coming off two bowl appearances, one of those being a New Year's Six game.
New Year's Six.
That was on January 1st.
Well, it wasn't one of the New Year's Six bowls though.
Oh.
What bowl game was it?
Outback. You're right, because Tennessee was in that one.
Yeah, sounds very similar to Butch Jones to me, if you ask me.
Sure.
Whenever you go to the Outback Bowl, you follow it up with the season. You go to what bowl did they go to last year?
The Belk Bowl.
Very similar to the Music City Bowl. And it looks like they're going to go 4-8. And he's probably going to get fired.
Wonder if South Carolina hires Jim McElwain. Keep the tradition alive.
Yeah, just the streamline of former Florida coaches.
Bad move by them.
Old Sharky.
A couple other interesting names on this list. Kevin Sumlin is at 10. Dana Holgorsen is in his first season is at 11, although I can't really see them making a move. Matt Luke at Ole Miss could be on the hot seat. And then Jeff Brohm, Justin Fuente, Charlie Strong. A couple of big names, no doubt about it. A couple of very big names at very big programs. What about Scott Frost? Well, do you think he is?
No, he's safe.
Do you think they're committed to him?
At least one more year.
Yeah, at least
one. At least one more.
I mean, you could have, theoretically, you could have four SEC East jobs come open this offseason.
Who is your fourth?
Kentucky.
Okay.
Butch Stoops Jones, could leave. But they're not firing Stoops.
And but, that is all the bottom tier as well. You know, like that is that's your four lowest on the totem pole of the East. So hopefully, you know, that helps play into Tennessee's favor of, you know, we kind of been talking about that throughout this year and really this offseason as well. Before you can, and this is just basic, everybody knows this, before you can compete with your Floridas and Georgias and whoever else on a consistent basis, you know, you have to be able to establish yourself as one of the middle guys, right? You can't, if you're a new wrestler, you can't just go for the heavyweight championship. You got to go for the mid-card title, maybe the intercontinental, and then move up to the world heavyweight. It's similar in the way that Tennessee is going through the East. And so this certainly helps kind of that process because then, you know, Tennessee has more games in the season that that are going to be more favorable moving forward. Hopefully that kind of springboards you into that next conversation, whatever it may be.
Yeah. Like you said, there could be a lot of coaches. Butch Jones takes his name out of the Rutgers hat. You think Butch can land one of these SEC East jobs? Maybe even Arkansas?
No.
You don't think so? What about a Vandy and a Butch, a Missouri and a Butch?
Vandy and a Butch.
I don't know.
Oh, my.
No.
He's got the SEC experience. We don't like Butch Jones, and we're biased because of this time here, but I'm just saying, he did have some wins, and he was winning at one point at Tennessee, 8-9 games. Who's to say he's been at Alabama for 2 years under Nick Saban? Who's to say one of these teams don't pick him up? Especially like a Vanderbilt or Missouri, somebody the expectations aren't going to be tremendously high.
I cannot see Butch Jones taking a head coaching job in the SEC this offseason. I can't see it.
Me either.
Won't happen.
You think he just wants to be under Saban?
I don't think you go from fired analyst to head coach of another SEC team. I just don't think that's how that career path goes. I think he's got to take a smaller job first before he can work his way back up to an SEC head coaching job.
No, man. Don't know. A lot of jobs going to be open. Not a lot of big-name coaches out there
first
to
of
pick
all,
up.
Like you said, Chance, he pulled his name out. Can we stop paying him now? Can we lawyer up?
Yeah.
I mean,
you can't make him take a job, though.
Yes, you can.
No, you can. He has to be actively trying to get a job. I don't think it says that he has to take said job if he's offered job. It's just he can't be back not like actively trying to get another coaching job. That's what I thought it was.
I feel like he should have to take one. If he's offered a job and he says no.
Has he been offered anything else besides this job? Well, presumably.
Well, we don't even know if he's offered.
Presumably.
Yeah, he just said he took his name out the hat. Or that's what the report was, that Butch Jones took his own name.
Yeah, the interview probably went poorly, and they were like, no, we're not going to. Your services are not needed here. And then Butch Jones comes out and releases it to the press that he took his own name out of the running.
one of my Arkansas friends who is in the know with the way the football team works over there, which I can't imagine you know very much because there's not really a football team that works over there. He says that the name to watch out for Arkansas, Lovie Smith.
What?
Lovie Smith is doing a good job at Illinois, man. He's at Illinois, and he's beating top-tier teams in his conference.
Yeah.
And he's been an NFL coach, hey, been to the Super Bowl.
There's
Why
worse
not?
Hires. There's worse hires. Look, they just went.
There
with
are
the,
also
they,
better hires.
But look, they no.
Name some.
Not,
name
not.
Some. No,
there's
name
Arkansas.
Some. Name some.
For Arkansas, Mike Norvell would be.
Mike Norvell would be good.
You
I
know,
do like Norvell.
You know that I am not big on Norvell, but Norvell would be a better hire.
Well, because he's already recruited in that area, too, so that's
Norvell
be huge.
Would be a better hire than Lovie Smith. I think you
I don't know if he,
you could probably get Mike Leach. To go to Arkansas.
That's two names.
Let's see who else. Give me a minute, and I'll have
just,
some. After
I don't
the
think
break.
There's that many big names. There's a lot of guys that need to get that next big job. Norvell, it's time for him to get a bigger job.
I think
he's earned it. Mike Leach, put him in a bigger university, better resources. Let's see what he can do.
I don't think Arkansas is a desirable job at all.
I don't think it's desirable, no.
I think the only reason that it would be desirable would be for that SEC patch on the jersey. But like,
but for Norvell, it might be because he's recruited in that area, and maybe he can bring him back.
I agree, and I also agree for maybe even a guy like a Fuente, but for a guy like Leach, okay, you guys, I will admit that I was wrong on Leach to Kentucky, right? You guys sold me on that one.
Leach
but
could
you,
have better offers
But you
than
cannot
Arkansas.
Sell me to Leach to Arkansas. I would not buy that. For a second. You are so trapped there in Arkansas.
Well, I don't think
you're getting out-recruited by everybody around you. You are bottom of the totem pole in the West, which is the worst.
Leach, that's
the
not
pole.
Even a lateral move maybe from him from Washington State to Arkansas. That's probably a downgrade for him because he's loved in Pullman. He's brought them to heights they've never really been to. So he hasn't made there in Pullman, Washington. So
I think there's too many negatives to Arkansas that way outweighs the SEC.
Arkansas might be a place for the up and comer like Norvell, or maybe like you say, if Justin Fuente were to leave Virginia Tech, it might be a better place for those guys.
Arkansas should just go on hiatus. They're a football team.
I got a name. What about Gus Malzahn?
Well, they were talking about that last season a little bit.
You know, like
that feels like. Because
he's an Arkansas guy.
His family.
He played at Arkansas from Arkansas.
It's like his daughter goes to school there or something.
His whole family's from there. Because that was the conversation before Morris.
So if they go 8-5, that's 2 8-5s in a row, I believe, at Auburn.
Who knows? They might pull the trigger.
Man, but talk about a downward.
Gus Bus always lingers.
Downwards movement. Again, unless it's just solely about family, which. We have seen an instance of this summer.
Hell, hire Bobby Petrino again.
Give him his own motorcycle. Let it ride.
And his own mistress.
Ah!
What's going on, guys? How you guys doing?
Oh, man, not too shabby.
I'm doing pretty well now, considering Florida State, after we just gave Willie Taggart basically $20 million. Ridiculous.
Yeah, what a huge buyout.
Why didn't they just give him the assistance that he asked for? That would have been way cheaper.
Yeah, they kind of really, you know, bleeped themselves on that to an extent. I mean, the boosters, although they do have a lot of money, they're ready to go ahead and get him out of there and pay it. But, yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Do you feel like even though he might not have been the best coach and it might have not been the right program, he might have been kind of handcuffed from the beginning with this coach's thing?
I think it's a lot of things. They put him in a couple different spotlights to where they made it the old AD Wilcox made it about his race. And they said they wanted a minority coach, which is, you know, good. There are only like 13 minority coaches in all of the 130 programs in college football. But they kind of put that spotlight on him. They wanted a minority coach. So it made people, well, they only hired him because he was black. I mean, and like not because like giving him credit to. And I know it took him a while. Every place he went to, it took him like 2 to 3 years to really get it going. I do think he was strapped a little bit as far as not letting him get his assistance that he wanted. And there was a lot of pressure. But then he took a lot of the pressure too. And he came out and said, well, and this is in his first press, he's like, he thought that he was going to come there and it was going to be bare, but Jimbo left him a lot. He made those statements, so he didn't help himself a lot, but at the same time, yeah, I think there's blame on both sides. Like, I do think it was a little too early to pull the plug on him, but at the same time, like, I mean, it was tough watching them not compete every weekend. Even, I guess, on Jimbo's way out, they still competed a lot of games. He wasn't, his offensive line recruiting skills were horrible, but they still seemed like they were competing for the most part. Oh, no, but a lot of his players backed him, too, so they all loved him. It's a really tough position. I mean, money talks, but he gets to sit at home with a $20 million check. So, although I'm sure he's not too happy that he got fired from his dream school, at the same time, he did get very well compensated.
Florida State didn't really help themselves because of what Jimbo stated, the reason why he left. He stated that they weren't willing to help him hire the best assistants, and he cited their inability to want to forward their progress with the facilities. And here we are with another coach that they seem to be doing the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think happened on that front? You got a team that won a national title just 6 years removed from that and was still 2014 go to the first college football playoff and still, like, you know, very, very much a team, you know, Florida State, a blue blood program. Why all of a sudden you think they got cheap for whatever reason?
I think that they were trying to pocket the money. I mean, but all of these things, as the time, it's easy to get stagnant and to remember how you were able to capitalize with Bobby Bowden. But it's time, just like Nick Saban, what we're seeing with Nick Saban, what we've seen throughout the years, Nick Saban has learned to rise to the occasion. His system changes depending upon the wins that he gets. So if Nick Saban continues to coach, you're going to see Nick Saban change with the times. And Florida State has to learn to change with the times so they can continue to stay relevant. That's what I think happened. They got stagnant with what was in the past.
Yeah, definitely. You could say that. Penny, who are your top coaching candidates?
Man, I don't even know. I really don't understand the early push for Bob Stoops. I mean, he's 3 years removed from college football coaching.
Sure.
So I don't even understand who are they looking at? Who is available right now? And please don't say Urban Meyer, because after the whole Jameis Winston debacle, we can't afford to hire Urban Meyer.
It's pretty funny.
I think one of the tough things is that, you know, at this stage in the game right now, you still got to be looking at coaches who could be with a team currently.
Well, that's why I don't get firing mid-season.
Coach mid-season, yeah.
Because there are only a select few people that you could even
hire
talk
right
to.
Now, yeah, that you can even talk to. Yeah, you can't even communicate with some of these coaches, like you say, until, you know, a couple more weeks away from that. Yeah, I like the up and comer Norvell. I'm gonna keep spouting his name. Just think it's time for him to get a big job. I like if they were to go. Now you talk about sanctions. Maybe some sanctions would come if they were to go Lane Kiffin and team him back up with Kendall Browse. That's the most success he's had as a head coach when they won 12 games at FAU his opening year or second year. Can't believe it was the first or second year, but he had Kendall Browse and they just ran it up and down on folks. So I wouldn't mind that, but like you say, you don't really know yet because you still got to wait till a lot of these coaches get done.
That's crazy. I'm glad Florida State is about to make a bowl game. Maybe we'll play Tennessee. I couldn't tell you who the better team is. What I thought was really surprising about Florida State's win against Boston College, who I thought going into that game, I didn't know how we were going to win, is the quarterback, Travis Jordan. Where did this kid come from? He had two touchdowns, and I think he had like 93 yards rushing. How come I haven't seen him all year long?
Yeah, kind of really baffles you, right?
It's crazy.
It's baffling. Anything else, Penny, before we get you out of here?
North Carolina, point guard's looking really good. Greg Anthony's son, Cole Anthony.
I did not know that was Greg Anthony's son. He did have a nice first game, 34 points, highest total for a freshman.
If you would have watched the game, you would have known.
Did they say it a lot?
They made sure you knew.
They made sure. I did not know that was Greg Anthony's son, but yeah. Greg Anthony was a UNLV Rebel, correct?
UNLV, yeah, he won a championship
there. Son went to North Carolina. E2, Brute. Appreciate the phone call, Penny, as always. Thanks. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. If you want to get on the Next Door home group hotline with us, quick timeout. Come back and finish up hour one. You listen to The Blitz right here on Fan Run Radio.
A couple of different reasons, right? You got the Niners playing the Seahawks. This game is in San Francisco, I believe. And we have our confidence pick, sure. And it is big because it is the wild card, which we will...
Nobody did well in confidence picks.
Nobody
this week.
Did well.
This game tonight.
No one did worse than Weston, though.
This game tonight, it's make or break.
It is. It's make or break. But ever so often, there are times when the confidence pick, it gets pushed down the ladder a little bit in favor of a bet. Dollar bills, y'all.
A fish story.
Weston, you have a large sum of money on the line for tonight's game. Is that correct? Can you tell us about it?
Yes. Well, I don't have a whole lot to lose.
Okay.
But there's a whole lot to win.
A whole lot.
So, on Friday, I'm trying to budget for this trip I'm going on, and I'm like, I won, $500 a few weeks ago. So, I was like, I'm not trying to bet for a few weeks. And then I just looked at a few of these lines, and I said, this is free money.
You felt good?
Yeah. So
you took the Tennessee money line and the LSU money line.
Well, I took Tennessee.
Free money.
I took Tennessee plus 1.5. They didn't have a money line up at the time. So okay. I took Tennessee plus 1.5. They did do a money line later on. It was basically just the value of this pick. I thought that, some of these could be 50-50, but the value on the payout was insane. So I got LSU money line. Tennessee plus 1.5.
Okay.
Both of those hit.
Okay.
I got Seattle tonight, money line.
Wow.
Seattle has to win. I bet 120. If I win, it pays out $1,904.02.
The 2 cents.
$1,900.
Yes.
So you're taking everybody out for steak dinner if you win.
Yeah, that's what we told him.
Yeah. I will take you all out to dinner somewhere.
I didn't hear a steak
somewhere.
In there.
He wanted to
I
make
hear
sure.
A steak in there.
He wanted to make sure he did not include the steak part.
I told him it didn't have to be Ruth's Chris.
No,
but
definitely
something
not.
Better than McDonald's.
Yeah, dude.
No filet of fishes. Okay. No filet of fishes.
Yeah. Fair.
Doesn't have to be 5-star.
Yeah,
maybe 3-star though.
You'll be packing.
Yep.
But the Seahawks got a win for this game.
I mean, maybe
how?
Maybe Fleming's. Yeah.
Sure.
I want you to take us all out once you win, and then just like. Make it rain at the table.
Yeah.
Like just all obnoxiously and just
hey
like,
fish, let me hold a dollar.
Yeah.
Hey,
this on me tonight, y'all. Just make it rain. Clap, it, clap, 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 clap.
It's a weird feeling for sure. I've watched 3 Super Bowls with the Seahawks. I've had, big Vols games.
You nervous?
Oh my God.
Oh man.
It's a weird
God.
Feeling,
I can feel it there.
You are
you're a wreck.
You're 9 hours away from kickoff.
Yeah.
You got a long way to go.
And it sucks.
What are you going to do today? Like, what are you just going to sit around?
I really
want to
win my wild card pick,
probably
though.
Go do yoga and try to get my blood pressure down.
You should come watch the game. I would like to see your live reaction.
Oh, man.
I'm trying to get the logistics worked out to be able to do that. So.
I ain't got a kick out of that, boy.
You know he's going to be a nervous wreck.
Yeah.
The live reaction.
I know.
I'm looking forward to it, though. I just want it over with, one way or the other. If I could just like press a button at the beginning of the game just to skip it, I would. Just
the nice thing is, though,
well, just like the video games,
you don't have like a ton to lose, right? If the Niners lose, it's like what, $120?
Right. So like if I lose, it's not gonna kill me.
Right.
That's not the problem. But in the back of my head, knowing that I could have won $2,000, yeah, that's gonna.
Wow.
It's going to suck. But.
Keep Weston in your prayers tonight. Hey, let's close out the first hour today, heading back over to the Next Door Home Group hotline. Take a call from Roger. Roger, how you doing? It's a big Monday. We got a big victory over the weekend.
Yeah, that's great, Rick. That's great. Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Roger, you better not come on here and tell us how all of us were out on Jeremy Pruitt and try to make us eat crow again. We understand.
No, I'm not.
Doing good, Rog. Good to hear from you. Doing great, man.
Yeah, how y'all doing?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm fine.
Tennessee won, Rog!
How about the effort at the end we thought Kentucky from scoring. They're playing better, y'all. I just wanted to ask y'all about Tano. What do you think, Bertu? I just want to ask you what's happening. He's playing better. I just want to ask you what's happening to him.
Well, I think the first thing, Rod, is the confidence level. I appreciate the call, Rod. We got to hit the heart out here in a little bit. I think it's confidence is back. Some people say that he likes being this sixth man coming off the bench. It's not as much pressure on him. I don't know if that's anything because you're still inserted as a quarterback. It's not like, you know, spurts in and out as it is in basketball. Sure, yeah. Once you're inserted, you're inserted. I think it's confidence. I think it's he just had a wake the bleep up moment.
Yeah. And, you know,
and he's still not. Now, last night has been his best performance so far. Especially coming in as the second quarter, and probably his best performance since, I guess, maybe UT Chattanooga or something early, because he did look poised in the pocket. He wasn't afraid to get out, and he got out and ran and actually showed you why he wasn't one time, I guess, rated number one dual threat in all of the nation. But I just think it's confidence and just he had a wake the bleep up moment. That's what he had. Somebody smacked him across the head and said, "Wake up, dude."
Yeah, you know, and I think another big thing is just kind of the experience that goes along with it, right? Even though I said at the beginning of the show today, even though not all of his road games, not all of the night games, not all of the SEC East games have gone well for him or even have gone good, but there still is something when you go to those games, when you go to Alabama so consistently, when you go to South Carolina, when you go to Florida, and you build that repertoire of how to handle these kind of situations, or at least kind of how to mentally handle them, even if you don't execute fully right away. But we don't want to tease the bag too much on that, because that's where we're starting off the next hour of conversation. You got to look at Jared Garantano. You got to look at Brian Maurer. And now I don't want to start a controversy wherever there isn't one, but for the sake of, you know, trying to break down this game, you look at both of these quarterbacks, you look at the different kinds of games they had, and we'll kind of see what we think Tennessee may do headed forward in the future. I think it could be interesting. By no means is anybody giving up on Brian Maurer, but, you know, what is this new look, maybe new attitude, JG, how does he play himself into the rotation? We'll get that all figured out here in about 2 weeks. But until then, that's where we're starting off hour number two, so don't go anywhere. Give us a call if you want, 865-546-8200. Hour number two of the Blitz coming up next.